Amen. Let's begin by taking our Bibles, please, this morning in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verse number 27. Luke chapter 4, verse number 27. Luke chapter 4, verse number 27. I'd like to talk about service this morning. Hopefully, encourage us for the new year before us. And we'll begin here in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Luke chapter 24, verse 27 reads, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. And we are thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we rejoice in that fact this morning. And we ask now that you would quicken our minds and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide us into truth this morning. May the Lord Jesus be uplifted, honored, and glorified this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask and pray. Amen. Note there in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This verse affirms the very fact that every page within the Holy Scriptures have a focus upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is central to the Word of God. And note then, verse 27, that the Bible reads, "And beginning at Moses." That's in reference to the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Pentateuch. So beginning at Moses, beginning within the very five first books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they all speak of Jesus Christ. And we need to look for Jesus Christ because God is seeking to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And God will rightfully accomplish that fact when the people of God spend time within the Word of God, which is all about Jesus Christ. So as we meditate upon the Scriptures, we are meditating upon Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit will transform us into His blessed image. So every page within the Scriptures is in reference to Jesus Christ. We are to look for the blessed Christ. Turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus now, chapter 2. So we have to look for Jesus Christ within every page of the Scriptures, and that includes the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2, I'd like for us to spend a few moments and note our Lord Jesus within Leviticus chapter 2, and from this I'd like to spend a few moments and discuss the issue of servanthood. Note here in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, "And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense therein. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereat his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou shalt bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Here in Leviticus chapter 2, we have an offering known as the meat offering. And some Wednesday nights ago, we began to discuss this passage of Scripture. This is the second main offering out of five that God's people were commissioned to offer to their God through their sacrificial worship, through the ministry of the tabernacle first and foremost. And this meat offering is a contrast to the burnt offering that is discussed there in chapter 1. The burnt offering deals with a offering of complete surrender, of complete sacrifice, and the offering that was given within the burnt offering was an offering that was given fully upon the altar, and it was fully consumed upon the altar. Now, in contrast to this offering, the meat offering, or the meal offering, it's also called in the Scriptures, it's also called the cereal offering, or the grain offering. Simply because this meat offering is not in reference to red meat per se, it's in reference to meat as in food, sustenance. It's a bloodless offering. There is no animal killed, there is no bloodshed. This is a meal offering, or a grain offering, as it's also referred to within the Scriptures. The difference between this offering and the burnt offering was given fully upon the altar, whether it was a bullock or a lamb or pigeons or doves or a goat, that sacrifice was put upon the brazen altar and it was fully consumed to convey the fact that Jesus Christ gave his all for you and I. Jesus Christ died upon the brazen altar of Mount Calvary, shed his blood for your sin. He gave himself fully. This evening we'll take part in the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, this bread represents my body which is broken for you. And this juice represents my blood which is shed for you. Jesus Christ did not give of himself partially. He gave of himself fully for your sin, for my sin. And praise be to God for that very fact. And within the burnt offering, we have the Lord Jesus pictured, illustrated as the very one that gave himself fully for our sin. Now we come to the meat offering, or the meal offering, or the grain offering, or the cereal offering. You take a pick which one you prefer as far as the title of this offering. This offering's a little bit different. As I mentioned, there's no bloodshed, but it involves the giving of bread, flour, to the Lord, and you would bring your offering, and a portion of that offering was burnt upon the altar. A portion of that offering was burnt upon the altar. The remainder of that offering was given to Aaron and to his sons, and they were to consume. The burnt offering pictures Jesus Christ giving of himself fully to provide salvation for mankind. The meal offering is the offering that conveys the humanity of Christ, that God was manifested in the flesh. He gave of himself for you and I, and the meal offering conveys the principle of service. Because this offering that was given in order to be offered, a portion of that was burnt upon the altar, and the majority of that offering was given to Aaron and to his sons so that they could be sustained and serve God effectively. And beloved, within the pages of the Word of God, we have our spiritual sustenance, do we not? And we are to meditate upon the Word of God daily, as the Bible teaches, so that we might be sustained in order that we might serve God more effectively. So the meal offering, or the meat offering, was the offering that dealt with the issue of service. The issue of service. The burnt offering deals with the issue of salvation, consecration fully of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Are you with me so far? I think we need to upgrade our little thing here. It keeps falling off. Maybe super glue might do the trick. Now, I'd like for us to note here in Leviticus chapter 2 concerning this meat offering, the main ingredients. The Bible talks about fine flour there in verse number 1. And I'd like to propose to you as Luke chapter 24 verse 27 reads, that we will find Jesus Christ within all the scriptures. And I believe within this fine flour, we have the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity, how he was grounded for our sin. Just like wheat is grounded in order to provide flour to produce bread, so likewise the Lord Jesus was grounded. He went through agony for your sin and for my sin. And this flour was no ordinary flour, it was fine flour, it was very well sifted flour. So within this flour we see the person and work of Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and remained God, and he was willing to be grounded, so to speak, in order to provide bread for you and I, and to be the bread of life for all that will repent of their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. So within the flour we see the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And in the preparation of this meat offering, the Bible also makes reference to oil. He shall pour oil upon it, verse number 1. As you study the life of the Lord Jesus, we note that he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was guided by God's Holy Spirit. So once again, the oil is a picture of anointing, equipping, for service. So the Lord Jesus was not only grounded for our sin, he went through the agony of Mount Calvary in order to provide eternal life for you and I, but also he was anointed by God's Holy Spirit in his service. And the Bible teaches us at the end of verse number 1 of Leviticus chapter 2 that there was the flour, there was the oil, then there was the frankincense, a sweet perfume, that reflected the very radiance of Jesus Christ. And as we study the life of Christ within the pages of the Scriptures, we see that he was God personified. The mystery of godliness was found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And no wonder that centurion said, as he witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." That centurion could see the fragrance upon the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is our fragrance, is he not? He is our Saviour. He is our Lord for those that know him as personal Saviour. And in the offering of this meat offering, there was flour, there was oil, there was frankincense that was spilt over the bread. But also the Bible teaches us that within this meat offering there was always salt. In verse number 13 it talks about salt was to be added within this meat offering or meal offering. Salt, amongst many other things, is a preservative. And may I submit to you, my friend, that Jesus Christ came to give life, eternal life. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Jude, verse number 1, that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. For those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we have life eternal. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And within this particular offering, the usage of salt as a preservative pictures for us the fact that Jesus Christ, in dying for our sin, died, was buried, and rose again. And when you and I repent of our sin and receive him as our Saviour, we are born again by the Spirit of God, and according to Jude, verse number 1, we are preserved in Christ Jesus for eternity. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So my friend, within the flour we see the Lord Jesus being grounded in order to provide life eternal through Mount Calvary. The oil, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The frankincense, he was full of grace and truth. And also, the Lord Jesus is the salt of the earth, and he provides life eternal for all mankind, and he calls us to be the salt of the earth. He calls us to be the light of the world. In verse number 11, the Bible gives two exclusions. It emphatically mentions here in verse number 11 of Leviticus chapter 2 that there was to be no leaven within this offering, no yeast. The leaven within the scriptures was also always mentioned in the negative within the Holy Scriptures. A picture of sin. So no yeast was to be used within this particular meal offering. Reflecting for the fact that Jesus Christ became sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Lord Jesus is without leaven, without sin. But also note then, verse number 11, the Bible teaches us, nor any honey. Honey was used as an additive, as a sweetener. And Jesus Christ is sweet in his person and work. He has no need for any addition. He is complete, as Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 teaches us. So this very offering, this meal offering that involved flour and oil and frankincense and salts and no leaven and no honey, pictures for us the humanity, the God-man, Jesus Christ, 100% God, became 100% man and remained 100% God. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our glory. So we see Jesus Christ in all of these ingredients here within this meal offering. And as Luke chapter 24 verse 27 reads, in all the scriptures, including the writings of Moses, all these speak of me. And may God help us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was grounded for our sin, fine flour. The one that was anointed with the blessed Holy Spirit. He served God the Father under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The very one that had a fragrance, a sweet fragrance. He was full of grace and truth as he spoke and as he ministered, as he counseled, as he directed, as he trained his own disciples. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And the Lord Jesus is indeed the salt of the earth, offering eternal life to all. Jesus Christ with no leaven. Jesus Christ has no need of an added sweetener, honey, because he is the all-sufficient one. And he can be your Savior. He's my Savior. He became my Savior at the age of 14 when I repented of my sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And I praise God for that very fact. The Lord Jesus is Lord of all. And we see him illustrated within this meat offering. I'd like for us to move on and note that within these ingredients, we also have some principles concerning effective service. Some principles concerning effective service. If the burnt offering is all about salvation through the full consecration of Jesus Christ, the meal offering is about service. And as I mentioned, this was a bloodless offering. It involved flour predominantly and no blood involved. And a portion of this offering was burned up on the altar, the brazen altar. But the majority of the offering was given to Aaron and to his sons for sustenance. Beloved, God has called us to service. And as we draw a close to 2015, and as we prepare for 2016, may God remind us, and may God prepare our hearts, that God has saved us in order that we might serve him for his glory. Because we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we are not our own. Yes, salvation is free. But we have been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. And we belong to him, and God wants us to give our all to him. And beloved, it's no coincidence that within this meal offering, a part of this offering was burnt upon the brazen altar, consecration, full surrender, and the majority of that offering was given to Aaron and to his sons for sustenance. So in other words, if we are to effectively serve our God, there needs to be consecration. There needs to be consecration. There needs to be complete surrender. Now we referred to this back in the burnt offering when we taught on the burnt offering. That sacrifice that provided and pictured salvation for all mankind was the giving of our Lord fully for our sin. So therefore it would be rightfully our duty to give our all to him in return. Salvation is free. But we are not our own. We've been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And we belong to him. So it ought to be automatic, so to speak. Part and parcel of salvation is that I surrender my all to him. Not for salvation, but because of salvation, I give my all to Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen to that. So it's no coincidence that within this meal offering, a portion of this offering was burned upon the altar. To remind us that if we are to effectively serve the Lord, there needs to be surrender. That needs to be at the foundation of our service. We're saved to serve. Now how can we serve him effectively? Let's take a moment and consider these ingredients once again. And let's draw some application to effective service. Consider the fine flour, illustrating for us the purity of Christ. Christ who was without sin, was grounded for our sin, so to speak. The fine flour speaks to us of purity. And God might need to refine us through trials in order that we might be fit for effective service. And if we're to serve God effectively, then we need to be pure vessels, fit for the Master's use. Just as it reads there in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 21. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So the need for purity. My friend, if we're to effectively serve God, there needs to be purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God cannot use dirty vessels. Most of you wouldn't use a dirty vessel. Would you pick up a cup that's dirty and continue on and make a cup of tea? No. What would you do? You'd either set it aside and look for a clean cup, or you'd wash the cup. Are you awake this morning? You wouldn't use a dirty vessel to make your cup of tea, or your cup of coffee, or to drink your glass of orange juice. You set it aside, and you'd look for a clean vessel. And may I submit to you that God has had to set some of us aside, because he's looking for clean vessels. He's looking for clean vessels. And the fine flour speaks of purity. God wants to use pure vessels for his glory. And if you want to be effectively used in 2016, then you and I need to be clean. We need to be a clean glass for God's glory. So the fine flour speaks of purity. The oil, what about the oil? Well, the Lord Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And He is eternal God. More so, we need to be anointed with the Spirit of God, do we not? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, especially during this time of the year. And be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5:18. We need the presence of God's Spirit, His fullness of power upon our lives if we are to serve God effectively. And part of this meal offering was not only pure flour, refined flour, but also oil. And beloved, if we are to serve God effectively, then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 teaches that in verse number 9 and verse number 11 very clearly. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control our whole being. And then we'll serve God effectively. Flour, oil, frankincense. Oh, beloved, this morning we need to have the sweet perfume of godliness in our lives. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches us, will suffer persecution. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about godliness. Note there quickly, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Note then, third verse, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Note then verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, to live godly, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then verses 5 and 6, it talks about besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Then verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you, if you and I will add these qualities, if these things be in you and abound and remain within your life, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God gives us a promise on how we can be godly and reflect the divine nature and be a sweet perfume, so to speak, frankincense in this world that is full of darkness and bitterness and heartache and pain and sin. Beloved, God has called us to be a sweet fragrance for God's glory. And if we will add to our life these spiritual qualities by faith, we can be that fragrance. And the Bible teaches us we won't fail. We'll be fruitful and press on for the glory of God. So many of God's people become castaways simply because they're not moving forward. May I encourage you, child of God, as we prepare for 2016, move forward.
add to your faith. Keep growing. And be that frankincense. Be that sweet perfume of godliness. And as I already mentioned, there in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse number 13, salt was to be added to this meal offering. Salt is not only a preservative, it also creates thirst. And let me ask you this morning, does your life create a thirst in others for God? Your life, my life, we are to be the salt of the earth. And may our speech and may our attitude, may our countenance, our actions create a thirst for God. Beloved, if we are to serve God effectively, there needs to be purity. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be godly. We need to have that sweet perfume of godliness. But also we need to be the salt of the earth. Our life, your life, my life, needs to be salty for God's glory. And if we will maintain purity, and if we will continue to grow into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we will add to our faith, as it reads there in 2 Peter chapter 1, then we will be the salt of the earth. Salt can lose its flavor. It can be unsaltry. And I'm afraid that many of God's people, God's called us to be the salt of the earth, but there's not much to us. Not much taste. Beloved, we're called upon to be the salt of the earth. The flour speaks of purity. The oil speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The frankincense speaks of the sweet perfume of godliness that should radiate from your life and my life. And the salt, your life needs to be such a sweet perfume, so to speak, that it will create a thirst in others for God, where people will want to know your God. When was the last time somebody said to you, I want to know your God. Tell me about your God. Have you ever had that experience? There's something about you that's different. I want to know about your God. What makes you tick? Tell me about your spiritual DNA. May God help us to be the salt of the earth for God's glory. But as it mentions here in Leviticus chapter 2, within this meal offering there was to be no leaven, no besetting sin. Beloved, we need to set aside every sin, every weight that does beset us. No leaven. How can we possibly serve God effectively when there is leaven within our hearts? And also within this meal offering, there was to be no honey. No artificial sweetening. May God help us to be the real McCoy. Be genuine. When the Apostle Paul made reference to Timothy and to his mother and grandmother, he said, I see and I'm convinced that your faith is genuine. And my friend, if we're to serve God effectively, then we need to be genuine. Amen. Too many fakes out there. The media is full of fakes. Fakes everywhere. People living fake lies. People propagating a fake lie. People propagating one thing, but the true fact is this over here. May what we see this morning be reality in your life and in my life outside the four walls of this building. And if we're to serve God effectively, we need to be genuine. And work out what is not genuine in your life and deal with it. Cast out the leaven. Get rid of it. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. And it'll hinder our effectiveness for God. To this meal offering, no honey, thanks. No added sweetener. Just the raw material. And may God find in your life and in my life the real thing. Genuineness. A genuine faith. That isn't one thing within the house of God and lives differently within you, the four walls of your house. That's hypocrisy. And God's not going to bless that. And be sure, my friend, your sin will find you out. And that's why people don't knock on your door. And that's why people are not coming to you and asking you for how to be saved and how can I have my life changed? Well, they're not seeing in your life. That's the reality for most of God's people. There's no genuineness. One thing in church, another thing at home. Talk to me. God's not going to bless that. May God deliver us from such hypocrisy. So in closing this morning, these ingredients need to be evident in our lives if we're to serve God effectively. The fine flour speaks of purity. The oil speaks of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The frankincense reflects that sweet perfume. May our lives radiate godliness. The salt. May God so work within our hearts that we might live a godly life, that it might be a creative thirst in the lives of others for God. But no leaven, no honey. Let's be the real thing. May God help us to have the humility to deal with that sin that might be besetting you and I this morning. God wants us to serve Him effectively. An outflow from salvation, consecration, is service. We are nourished with heavenly manna, the bread of life, the Word of God. To what end? To serve God effectively. And within this meal offering, the majority of this offering was given to Aaron and to his sons for their sustenance so that they might continue to serve God effectively. The burnt offering speaks of salvation, consecration. The meal offering speaks of service. And God wants to use you for His glory. And God wants to use me for His glory in 2016. So I want you to think about the ingredients and may God help us to apply these ingredients personally that we might be useful for the Master in 2016. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.